All right, praise God. Amen. I just want to talk to you a little bit today, and I don't even know what I want to say, because this is so tremendous, a Mother's Day. And I don't know if I want to talk about Mother's Day or continue on something else, but I just let the Lord lead me today, because I'm a cross between two. And the study that we are doing, that we will be bringing to a close pretty soon. Then after that, if the Lord will let me, I want to go into the minor prophets. Now I know that a lot of churches don't go there. That's why people don't know, because you're in churches that doesn't preach it. Now, if you go to a school, and your professor or whatever, your teacher, don't touch a subject. And you're supposed to know it, but he doesn't touch it, and he sends you to the test. What's going to happen? You're going to fail. So here God puts these scriptures there, and we don't read it. We have a lifetime, but we just don't read it. And nobody tells us. And we live, and we never try to check it out. And we go, and then the preachers pick one verse or two verses, get happy and shout, and you get happy and shout. You're going to heaven, and that's all right. But you still don't know a lot about God. So if you don't know, all right, you graduate from high school or college, and you don't know very much, okay? You're not going to get a good job. So we are in this life, and we don't know very much about God. Nobody ever tells us, or we don't try to find out, because that is secondary. It's not first. God is not first. God is secondary. See, and we live and we miss God when he should be the first. Amen. When my wife was talking about the virtuous woman, she would not be a virtuous woman without the help of God. She did not make herself virtuous. It's God that make her a virtuous woman. And in all your ways, the scripture said, acknowledge him. Put him first. Talk about him. And he's going to tell you what to do. He'll direct your path. Then you trust in him with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. To find out way for you. He'll make a way for you. We were in the Psalms 142 for a while, and it's not yet finished. But we went over into Nineveh, right? In Jonah. And God sent Jonah down to Nineveh. You can look at that a little bit and help me put it up on the screen board, the scriptures when I need them. But in Jonah went to Nineveh after God had given him a second chance. In 2 or 3, chapter 3, he said the word of the Lord came again unto the second time. Notice here. So, chapter 3, Jonah 3, verse 1. Look at it. I want you just quickly, let me go through a few scriptures here and make. He said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, when? How much? So it came to him, and he did not obey. But he got off a second chance. Otherwise, nobody would be here. He's a forgiving God and a God of a second chance. That means he will judge us, but His mercy goes before. Yes. He's a God. And so the second time, the word of the Lord, the same word came to Jonah and said, the second time says, arise and go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now Jonah went. We've been through these lessons before. You can get the tapes. You can see it on the Facebook. So Jonah went to Nineveh and preached, but he did not preach repentance because he did not want them to repent. He wanted God to destroy them. Now, a lot of us don't understand Old Testament history or most of the scriptures there. We were not taught a lot of that. So we don't know the history. So we really don't know God and how God works and how he will. Unless you know the history and what God said, God will do it. And there's such a thing as judgment, but there's such a thing as postponed judgment. That means God doesn't judge you the same day. And then you might think that, well, he's not going to judge me. I get away with it. But God judge you another day. Now, here's what happened. When God sent Jonah to Nineveh, the men and women in Nineveh repent. And we show you Wednesday night that even their animals, they caused them to fast. I don't think the animals prayed, but they fasted, right? But they repented, and God postponed the judgment. And Jonah was very upset because God didn't destroy the men and women in Nineveh. So in chapter 4, now go there quickly.
Verse 1
says, chapter 4, verse 1, read. But notice when God forgave them, it said that it displeased Jonah. Jonah didn't like. Jonah was upset with God. Because God didn't do it the way that Jonah wanted God to do it. Can you imagine? Wanted God to do it a way and God didn't do it. So he was upset. And he not only that, but he said Jonah exceedingly. It displeased him exceedingly. That's strong. And he was very angry. Verse. Come on, you know that he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord. Here's what, this, and I'm focusing because I want you to see this. If you don't see anything, see this. Jonah knew something about God. I pointed Wednesday night that he was a prophet from 2 Kings 14. God had spoke to him before. That this was not the first time. So Jonah understood something about God. He understood the laws of Moses. So he said, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, but notice what he's praying for. I pray thee, read, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? When the word of God came to him, he argued. And he's studying what he said. Say, Lord, I'm reminding you of what I said. I didn't want to come in the first place. And I'm showing you the reason why I didn't want to come. You know, every one of us, we've got good reasons, we think. And here now, Jonah had reasons. He said, here's my reason why I did not want you to go. I did not want to go to Nineveh. In other words, I want you to destroy them. But here's something that I know about you. Jonah knew more about God than a lot of us. And here, look at the quality and the character and who God is. Jonah knew. But it says that when I was in my country, I told you this, I spoke with you.
Therefore,
I fled before unto Tarshish. Here's why I fled. We're finding out now, right? Why he fled. Here's the reason why. From I was in my country, you spoke to me, the word of God came to me, and here is why I fled. Here is why I didn't go to church. Or here's why I did that. Or here's why I act that way. I've got a reason, and here's my reason. Now, therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. You ought to shout for that. Jonah knew that God was gracious. God is not like us. See, God doesn't think like me. Because I want God to destroy my enemies right away. Have you ever prayed for God to destroy your enemies? Get them out the way. I don't pray anymore, but I used to. Before I understood the word of God. Oh, that person, and I would point out the wrongs that they did to me, and I never tell God hardly my wrongs. But I could see something wrong in somebody's life. So Jonah knew God. And he knew that God was a gracious God. If you can understand that, then you'll be shouting. He said, the reason why I didn't go, because I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful. Hallelujah. And slow, look at this word. And what? And slow to anger. And of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. What a word. Jonah said, that's why I didn't go. I don't want to go because I'm going to go preach and I'm going to look like a false prophet. Because you're going to forgive them if they repent. If they turn to you, I'm going to live hanging out there, and how am I going to come back to Israel? They're going to look at me as false because I went to Nineveh to preach and they repent and you change your mind. You didn't destroy them. Then who's going to look like a fool? Have you ever want God to do things your way? The way you want it. The way I want it. And the way Jonah wanted it. Jonah wanted not to preach to them, but for God to send destruction upon the men and women of Nineveh. Now, next verse. Therefore now, O Lord, because of this. Look at it. Instead of rejoicing at the glorious, wonderful character and mercy and love of God and kindness of God, he's asking God to kill him. It's like you go to church and see God pouring out his spirit and God's healing people, delivering people, and you get upset. That's not what you want. You want the church to be dead and dry. You don't want nobody to clap their hands. You don't want nobody to shout or sing. You want to, I like it boring and dry. I feel better if it was a graveyard experience. No, what's all this shouting about? What it said, how come I don't feel nothing? They all said they praise the Lord, but I don't feel nothing. It depends if you're a Jonah or you're on the other side of Nineveh. Because the people in Nineveh repented and they felt God. That was that was the greatest revival. Yes. Nobody. Not even a Billy Graham has ever had 60, 20, that a whole city turned to God one time. You might have 40,000, you might have 60, but still not a whole city. But Jonah had a whole city turning to God, and he was upset. Let me tell you something. The heart is deceitful. And you can see a move of God. You can see an outpouring of God and still get upset. And everybody can be rejoicing and you don't. Well, I don't see what they're rejoicing about. Why they're so happy. Why they're clapping. Why they're talking about Mother's Day and all of that stuff. And if they ever knew how I grew up. I didn't even have a mother. So how can I rejoice? Yes, you rejoice because somebody else had the experience of a mother. Amen. You don't rejoice of what you have. You rejoice in what somebody else has. And they found God. And Jonah could not rejoice. He was upset. He was angry with God. And he said, kill me. Why do I go back home? They're going to call me a false. Just go ahead and kill me right here. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Boy, that's a desperate place. That, you know, that you talk about getting to the end of the road. You think you have problems. But Jonah's problem was one because he disobeyed God. He didn't want to obey God. He didn't want God to work the way God wanted to work. Then said the Lord. Don't you like when the Lord speak? Yes. Doest thou well to be angry? Doest thou well to be angry? Verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city. Note it, Moody. You ever see Moody? Mr. Moody. So Jonah went out of the city. He was a moody man. Man of God, but he was moody. And he sat on the east side of the city and there made him a booth. And sat under it in the shadow till the that he might see what should become of this. He's just waiting for the destruction. So I'm not leaving town. I'm going to see what God's going to do because I'm just sitting here because I want him to destroy these people. So he even made him a little tent. Then the Lord has a sense of humor. Look how God, the Lord, God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah. You know, that little plant just suddenly grew up. Like a just wriggling up and just growing real fast. You ever see on television, plants just growing up fast and spread over. And that it might be a shadow over the head, over his head, to deliver him from the grief, from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding, look at that, exceeding glad at the gourd. We can rejoice at nothing. But in the word of God, he wasn't rejoicing the fact that God's gracious and spared those people. He was rejoicing that I got a little raise on the job. I got a $10 raise or whatever it might be. I got a car. Vanities. You know? You get a house. Whatever it might be. But you put your confidence in that. And you rejoice in that. Instead of the graciousness of God. Instead of the mercies of God. Instead of the kindness of God. Instead of a God would spare his people. You're rejoicing. You're rejoicing the fact that you've got that. Your little gourd that provides you a shadow. And now, you got hair condition. You don't have to be in the sun anymore. God provided it for you. He was. But notice what happened. God's got a sense of humor, right? First it said Jonah was glad. I think that's the first time he was glad since he left Israel. He was exceedingly glad. It takes a lot of foolishness to make some people happy. I don't care what God does in church, how much the word of God, how much the Holy Ghost moves, they'll never get happy. But you let a little foolishness come out. What did he say? Tell me some more of that. You know what I'm talking about? They rejoice in foolishness, but not in the grace of God. It's like gossip. Some people will, you preach your heart out and they never hear you. But when church is over, they form a little gossip ring. And they parked. And every time, it's the same one over and over. You don't see them talking hardly to anybody else. And they smile and they're happy. Jonah was exceedingly glad because now he was getting something that was cooperating with him. Doing what he wants to do. Providing his need. Oh, I'm hot. And now I have a hair condition. Everything is going fine now. And he says he was exceeding glad, but that was the surface. He wasn't happy about the things of God. He was just happy because his need was being met. But God prepared. Notice, God has a sense of humor. Did I say that? But God prepared. Notice, God prepared the fish. God prepared the things you're going through. He said, I don't believe that. You'd be surprised to know. The great God can bring you out on the other side. If you will trust him. I'm going to show you. But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose. The next day. And it ran over there and said, it's time for breakfast. I think I'll just go eat that gourd. And gobble gobble. And Jonah watched his joy. disappearing, fade away. The things he's glorying just passed away before, because it was not the word of God. It was not the nature, the character of God. That's what happened to a lot of us. You wonder why things don't go your way and it, what you expect, it just dry up. But notice, verse 7, 8, came to pass when the sun arose that God, yes again, who did it? God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the bald head. He had a bald head. He peeled his hair off. He went, it blistered, went down on him. Upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself again to die. And said, it is better, his favorite line. This was his talking point. It is better for me to die than to live, over and over again. 9. And God said to Jonah, dost thou be hungry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be hungry, even to death. In other words, my soul is vexed, even to death. I have the right to be angry. Everybody's offending me. Things aren't going my way. They don't understand me. They're going to call me false. God, you don't understand. I'm a true prophet. And now you send me to Nineveh. I'm looking like a false prophet. I'm waiting for them to die. And all I see dying is the word. God's got a sense of humor. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity, there it is, on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. So you put your confidence in that. Here today, gone tomorrow. But, and should not I, but said, I made these people in Nineveh, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left. And also much cattle. And it closed on that. That was the end of, but that wasn't the end of, that was not the end of Jonah's life or his life story. Because those of you that know the scripture, Jesus referred to him and extended him and commended him and used him in Matthew chapter 14, is it? Anyway, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. You can read that. So shall the Son of Man be. Was that wonderful? Yeah. But give me a few minutes. And I'll show you something else. Give me a few minutes, can you?
Yes. Amen.
All right, now, Jonah warned them and God postponed the judgment. There are many times God will postpone judgment on a person and they let the guards down and take it for granted and say, oh, nothing's going to happen. Woo, I got you. But later on, he's going to judge you. Now, you got to understand, that's why I want to start teaching the minor prophets, which are not minor. But if I were like you, I'd come to church because you stay home and you don't know it, then you die not knowing it. And once you die, you're not going to come back to know it. So you need to spend a little time and say, I'm going to go to church. I want to know more about this word. Because some of the greatest word is in the minor prophets. Okay? I want to find Nahum. Jonah, Micah. Where was I? Jonah, Micah. Nahum. Just, you have Micah that get between it. And then Jonah. Nineveh. What am I saying? Nahum. Okay. I want to just only touch part of chapter 1, okay? Now, listen to me now, because this is history. God forgave them for a period of about 150 years, postponed judgment. A new generation, second generation rose up that didn't know God, didn't know him. And so they went right back to their wickedness and even worse. When I start teaching, I'll show some of the details that I don't want to go into now. But the Assyrians were very Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. The Assyrians were very, very wicked people. They not only fight battles and win, but they maimed and they'll cut tongues out and plug the eyes out and skin their captives. A lot of stuff they'll do. Evil. The Bible tells you. They were without mercy. So they went right back to their wicked ways, the men and women of Nineveh, after 150 years, now judgment. God sent another prophet, but this time there was no postponement of judgment. That's what the book of Nahum is. Can't go. You can read it on your own and read all these books because you're going to really see. And then, of course, we'll explain as time. It's going to take a long time to do it. But it's like having a Bible and you don't know what it says. Okay? You have a few verses in the New Testament, maybe a few in the Old Testament, and a few promises, but that's all you know about God. I tell you, he's a big God. And you don't want to be here today and gone tomorrow, right? You want God to work on your life. You want God to change you and make you and mold you. So you're not here today, gone tomorrow. So the worms will not have you. You understand, man? Eternal worms. Now, we're going to go to Nahum chapter 1. I want you to read with me. Put it up there so I can see it clear. Now, it starts out this way. The burden of Nineveh. Read it. The book of the vision of Nahum the El Shite. Notice. Jonah says God is gracious, merciful, right? Slow to anger, and long suffering, kindness, and all of that goes with it, right? I just touched it. Now here's God being shown by another prophet. He says God is jealous. Hold on. God is jealous. Now, if I can explain a little bit jealous. You can only be jealous if you're jealous over, like an example now, let's use that. My wife, I'm jealous over my wife. Okay? That's right. But somebody else cannot be jealous over my wife. But I can be jealous over my wife. I'm explaining what jealousy is. Because she's... If she was not mine, I could not be jealous over her. That would be covetousness. You're not listening.
Amen.
That means I'll be coveting. But I'm not because that's my wife. God's not coveting because you belong to the Lord. Didn't get that?
Yes.
So he can be jealous over you. Amen?
Amen.
If that car is not yours and you're jealous over it, that means you're covetous. Two different things. You can only be jealous over what belongs to you. So God is jealous over us because we belong to him. You following that? And the Lord revengeth. That means he'll judge you. You take action, and you might think you get away with it, but he revenge it.
Yes.
Some might say, oh, is God doing anything about it? Just give God, leave God in his time. Then it goes on twice for emphasis. The Lord revenge it. And look at this.
Is furious.
Now, that's when the pot boils over. It's boiling, 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 and the heat getting, and then it boils over. You can hear it, right? It's furious. That pot boiling over, that milk and just, whatever, just boiling over, that soup, And you can hear from the back. And if you don't respond, the Lord is furious. The Lord will take what?
Vengeance.
Somebody said, oh no, that's why I say leave all vengeance to God. When somebody do you wrong, you don't have to do nothing but pray. And you said, I'm going to get them. No. You know why? Because you belong to God and they touch you and God's jealous over you. Because touch not mine anointed, touch not mine. Ah, listen, come on. So the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord. And you let the Lord fight your battles. Somebody should be shouting. Why? Because he's jealous over you. He says the Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. And he reserveth, notice, wrath. You begin to understand something about God now? He's showing you what he will do. So it might look like they get away with it, but they don't. Verse 3. Look, this is awesome. Didn't we find that in Jonah, the same thing? The Lord is slow to anger. It's there in chapter 4, I think. The Lord is slow to anger, but is great in power. And will not at all acquit the wicked. My Jesus. If you understand how God works, but they did me something and I have to get them back. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because you cannot inflict the punishment on them that God will. You're going to inflict a human punishment, but God knows how to inflict a divine punishment. That's why you leave judgment to God. Amen. That's why you leave judgment to God. God says, he says that God avenged. Oh, but I can't wait for God to do it. Well, so I did it myself. No, you don't. I got to read it again. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord, do you know many times the Lord at his way in the whirlwind and in the storms. Have you got a storm? Is there a whirlwind blowing in your life? Oh, this storm is too big. I've been through storm, but this one's too big. No, let the Lord have his way. Are you following? You getting something? And the clouds. Oh, they're just raking up dust in my face and everything, just dust and cloud and fire. The Lord, he's there walking in the dust, the clouds. Everything's cloudy and black and you don't look like you're getting anywhere. You should be going forward, but you're going backward. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. Verse. Look what he does. Look what he does. He rebuketh the sea. Naturally, and the human sea. And make it dry. Egypt, when they came out of Egypt, dry it up. And dried up all the rivers. Do you begin to understand a little bit about God? Huh? From the minor prophets? Jonah? Now Nahum? Telling you who God is? Now go look on. Said, and Bashan languisheth. Carmel, the flower of Lebanon, languisheth. Verse 5. Notice. What? Is there a mountain in your way naturally? Spiritually also? Whatever? The mountains out there? These actually happen. Quakes at him. Sinai quakes. And the hills melt. You know, I feel for those people over in Hawaii, but you can see the lava, right? You didn't know all that fire liquid. Awesome. The earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. If God doesn't help you and have mercy in you, I don't care what you do. You can never deliver yourself. The earth. Now, this is also the impending judgment that coming to Nineveh. That they think they escape 100 years earlier, but they turn. And this is what I'm trying to say. These scriptures here for our country. Yes, our country. If it doesn't turn to God, where do you think it's going to head? God's still in charge. It's not the president. It's not the governors. It's not you and I. It's God. God never gave up to anybody. Nobody voted God out. He's still God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he never changes. His fury. Who can stand? Notice. Who can stand before his indignation? Who? Who? Nobody. Only those that put their trust in him. It will tell you. Said, it's asking you a question. Who can stand? It's a question. Then it goes on again. And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? If we can answer these questions, his question, it's a test. You have to answer it. And if you don't even know he's asking you questions, because you never read it, you're sitting down right now to like an examination, the greatest for life. And these are questions that face you. That really? Well, when you're doing that test for naturally, you don't do it and see if you're gonna pass. And there it is now, a test before you. Who can stand before his indignation? Go ahead and answer that. Who can abide the fierceness of his anger? Another question. You got it. His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Explain. Tell us something. What do you know about this God? Verse 7. And this is, pay attention now. Let's all read this. Let's all shout here in closing. The who? Are you reading it? The who? The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. And everybody say, ah, come on, hallelujah. Everybody say, glory to God. Woo! Ha, ha, ha. Woo! Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord. With all your might, I don't care what, he's a stronghold. What a God. What a God. Those that trust in him shall be as Mount Zion, which